Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Nick Duggar is speaking with us today. You might not be familiar with the name because he doesn't work in front of the cameras. He works behind the scenes. But since his graduation from MTSU, this Jackson native who lives in Nashville, Tennessee, has put together a highly successful all-digital, high-definition, independent, mobile television production company called Tennessee Digital Video. And Nick is talking with us today from, where did you say you were again?
We're actually in Ohio this week. We are on site completing the construction of our newest high-definition Expando TV truck that'll hit the road in about a week.
And one of the trucks in your, I wouldn't say your possession, your physical possession, at least not yet, but you own it, is a former MTSU truck on which students actually learned and practiced, right?
For over 15 years, and I want to say closer to 20 years, the Mass Communications Department had a state-of-the-art portable television production studio, and they have now been lucky enough to receive funding to upgrade to a new truck that'll be high definition and be able to accommodate more students. So I have purchased the previous MTSU truck. We called it Old Blue, but this was the same truck I worked on as a student and then went on to help teach classes on as an adjunct professor, and one that's close to my heart, so I'm excited it's going to be part of my fleet.
And Dennis O'Neill, who is the chair of electronic media communication here at MTSU, does not even have that new truck, his brand new shiny Play Pretty, to play with yet because it's where you are, right?
Well, ironically, I can look about three construction bays down from where my finishing touches are being put on my truck and see the brand new MTSU truck getting its polish and its work done to it. So it's a race to the finish line, but I think I'm ahead by a nose.
You are also an adjunct professor. You were. You're not anymore at MTSU. Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to have so many professional connections come out of your MTSU experience, so much networking with which you have built this highly successful private sector company, to say nothing of the interns, the students, and the alums who have worked with you and for you?
Absolutely. When I finished high school in West Tennessee, I was under the impression that I knew it all and I was ready to go to work. I was sorely mistaken. Coming to MTSU opened up more doors than I really ever could have imagined, both on campus and off. The opportunities on campus were enormous, between sporting events and music events at the music hall and specials we shot in the MTSU television studios, but also off campus. A number of professors and faculty went out of their way to pursue opportunities off campus. We helped with big conventions and trade shows and DVD shoots out of town. We traveled all over the country. I did production work for MTSU in Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, even Los Angeles, California, where I was able to meet and work with professionals in the television industry. And what that allowed me to do is maintain a very detailed Rolodex, so when I graduated, I was able to reach out to these same people through the connections I made while as a student and continue to work and open my own business.
For folks who may be more familiar with the folks in front of the camera than the folks behind the scenes, give us sort of a list of your professional television production credits.
Well, you know, the ones that I'm most proud of are probably not the most prestigious. You know, my favorite shows to work on are local high school football games and small business awards and the Murfreesboro Chamber of Commerce dinner, but I've also been lucky enough to work on some really prestigious shows. The TV trucks do work for all the major networks. Just in the past few months, we've done specials for Great American Country and BET, and we have a series that's the longest-running series in the history of the Speed Channel. The TV truck has worked at the White House. We actually provided television facilities for a concert in the East Room of the White House for the President and the First Lady and a special small group of invited guests. I've done a lot of work with the state of Tennessee. We do the Governor's State of the State Address and a lot of high-profile entertainment events, DVD shoots for Steve Martin, Lots of award ceremonies. We do the ASCAP Awards and the CSAC Awards and the BMI Christian Awards and the Trailblazer Awards, even the Musicians Hall of Fame. The owner of Chambers Guitars in Murfreesboro, Joe Chambers, is the brains behind the Musicians Hall of Fame. And we do its award ceremony every year, where we have worked with artists like Garth Brooks and Kid Rock and even members of the Rolling Stones. So we've gotten to work with some pretty amazing talent in our few years that we've been on the road.
In a universe far, far away in the 1970s at a university which shall remain nameless, but it wasn't MTSU, I was not allowed, nor were any of my classmates allowed, to use the equipment in the College of Communication until we were juniors. It was a rule. I don't know what their problem was. I think they were afraid that we would break it somehow, or we'd, you know, spill a Pepsi into the mixing board, or, you know, I don't know what they thought, but we had no practical hands-on experience in college. The first 2 years were mostly theory and everything, which is valuable. I would have liked to have been able to actually handle some tape and cart machines, you know, along with the theory at the time. But talk a little bit about your MTSU experience and the facility with which you were able to learn the equipment and get practical hands-on experience.
Sure. Well, MTSU is unique in the fact that while it does have very high-end new high definition, in this case, technology that students may not see till some of their later years at school, they also have many opportunities for students the first day they step on campus. And for any students listening, I hope they heed my advice when I say that spending time on and around the equipment in an environment of learning is incredibly invaluable for a successful career. MTSU TV Channel 10, what we call MTTV, is the student-run television station on campus and fully accessible to any student, and they produce news, entertainment, sporting events. They get out of the studio and do field work, and it's all regulated by a student management body with a faculty advisor. So they have the ability to learn and create and try new things without the stress of tests and grades. It's a laboratory for their use 24 hours a day. And then as they go on to take the classes in production, they can take the skills that they acquire at MTTV and apply it to their classes. And when they do get to work with more of the higher-end equipment and get onto the HD TV truck, the trust that the professors have for those students is significantly greater because they know they've had an opportunity to learn and get any mistakes or spilled Pepsis out of the way before they step foot on that brand-new high-def truck.
You talked about thinking that you knew it all initially. I don't know how anyone can think that they know it all about this fast progressing field, because the technology advances at such a rapid rate that professional development is a daily occurrence. If it isn't, you're going to be out of business very, very fast. Just talk about the advances that have occurred in the equipment that you're working with from the time you graduated to the present.
Sure. Well, television has never stopped changing. Since its inception, it's been a technology that is ever evolving. You know, the quality increases, the options increase. In my time, personally, the biggest transition has been from analog to digital television. And that's not to be confused with standard def and high definition. But even in the days of standard def, when I started at MTSU, it was an analog environment. The truck was analog, the edit suites were analog, the switcher and televisions were analog. And in the mid-90s, the transition to digital technology began. It was still standard definition, but it was digital. And MTSU was very quick to adapt to some of that new technology in all the environments, the studios, the control rooms, the cameras, the equipment available for students to check out. Now, the transition from standard def digital to high definition, which is also digital, was less dramatic of a change. It was still a big change, but really the only thing that changed at that point was the resolution, just the number of dots on the screen. The way the systems worked together, the way that the equipment talked and the equipment was set up, is very similar to the standard def digital equipment that I got to put my hands on as a student at MTSU. And that the students in the high-definition realm will have an opportunity to work with currently at MTSU.
So when you started, you were still dealing with, like, three-quarter-inch videotape, and in the editing bay you had this knob that you would turn to the right for fast forward and to the left for rewind.
In fact, in the very room where you sit, just outside of your doors at WMOT, Channel 10 had an edit suite that was our 3/4-inch edit suite that was made up of three different 3/4-inch VTRs, videotape recorders, and an edit controller. And I personally cut together probably 100 television shows on my personal show that I produced, Blue and White, before the age of non-linear editing, where we had a computer to throw all of our media in and crank it together and spit it back out. So just in the short 4 years I was at MTSU, we went from a very tape-based linear production workflow to a very non-linear and digital production workflow. And I would assume that on any given four-year period, or 5 years in some cases, most other students would see that dramatic of a change in the technology. Currently, it's the transition from standard def to high def. Students that are, you know, incoming freshmen up all the way up to master's degree students are seeing this new HD TV truck be designed and built and deployed. So it's an exciting time now to be a student at MTSU, just like it was for me just 12 or 13 short years ago.
Talk a little bit, if you will, about the increasing accessibility of video and audio technology to the average consumer. National Public Radio still cares about pristine audio, for example, but they don't care about it so much that they will not accept on-the-scene breaking audio from a bystander, a non-professional, a civilian, if you will, who just happens to have his cell phone up in the middle of a riot and it captures some audio or some video or some still photographs. And television has gone the same way. As a matter of fact, the news channels have institutionalized it for all intents and purposes with their so-called citizen journalists who actually contribute product to the organization and what it either puts online or airs over cable. So how does that affect professionals like you?
It's amazing how priorities change when breaking news is involved. I think the same is true for television, especially news-based, frequently single-camera acquisition. It's a give and take. The networks want to be first. They want to beat Facebook to the punch with breaking news, so they are willing to sacrifice what would otherwise be pretty stringent quality rules in order to get whatever media, be it audio or video or still images, that a cell phone camera might capture or that a flip camera might catch. It's worth it to them to take that hit on the quality to get the bragging rights and hopefully the ratings because they were first to air. I think in my particular line of work, we are in a more controlled environment. Even though it's live television frequently, sporting events and entertainment events, they're less news-based. They're more of a planned, scripted, rehearsed environment. So quality is still key to us. In fact, there are entire areas of our production trucks that are dedicated to quality control, the color and the light and the sound quality, and even the quality in which the operators work, the soundproofing of the audio booth or the light reduction in the color control area, are all things that are of great expense to me, but to make sure that those technicians have the environment they need to ensure that quality. And then occasionally we'll throw in some B-roll of some on-the-spot flip camera action, but we try to keep it looking pretty nice.
Would your production company for an award show or a sports show also provide the director of that particular production?
It depends on the event. Most television truck companies are just that. They provide the gear. There is an environment that does not have a TV control room, so their responsibility is to park and power and deploy cameras in a control room, and it's up to the producer of the event to staff that. Now, where TNDV is a little unique is my background is in producing. What I am best at is just that, putting together a crew, maintaining a budget, dealing with lodging, logistics, travel, per diems, and putting together a crew that works well together and gets along. But I also own a fleet of TV trucks. It's very unusual, and I don't know of any other production company that owns trucks that does it just that way. So on a number of my shows, the client will come to me and say, this is your budget, and we need a turnkey solution. They need crew, they need facilities and gear, and they need it done on time and on budget. On many other shows, I'm the truck guy. Bring your truck, set it up, and we'll let you know when we're done. So I'm happy to accommodate both clients because both are a very viable part of our daily life, but it depends on the show.
Are you capable, talent-wise, of doing everything that the people in your employ can do? Run the audio board, run a teleprompter, be the director, run the cameras, etc.?
Well, there again, it's a bit of a unique opportunity. I was so in awe with television production as a whole as a student, I decided it would be my professional goal to work in every area of television production, professionally or semi-professionally, before I chose a career. So I have a check stub from being a lead audio engineer. I have many memories of being a camera operator for hundreds of events. I worked in engineering. It was my goal to work in every role to gain some competency, even if not a mastery, of each of those roles. And I think that's what allowed me to build and assemble and deploy my first truck. It was just a few short years ago. I was only 24 when I built my first digital television truck. And that's pretty unusual, especially for a company with only one employee, and that's me. But it was the time I spent in each of those various roles learning about the areas that allowed me to approach the build-out of the truck with a little bit of a different mindset. I didn't have to go by the book because I'd sat in all the seats. I knew what actually was needed to get the job done versus what the book said you had to have. Now that the business has been around for 7 years and I'm able to be a little less frugal with my budget and go for some of the creature comforts, I can develop the different areas of the truck a little nicer with a few more bells and whistles. But I can honestly say that I've worked in every role within a TV truck and can at least have an intelligent conversation with any engineer or technician that might be working in those spots.
So your business, talk to me about the structure of your business, people on your permanent payroll versus people who are in your Rolodex who you can call up at a moment's notice or at least with a little bit of an advance notice and say, hey, I really need you for this project. Can you come work on it?
Well, TNDV has survived for 6 years so far with zero employees. I've been it. We have maintained a staff of very dedicated and extremely talented freelancers, but they were just that. They were freelance employees that worked when the shows were here and were able to work on other productions when I didn't have a project. As of about a month ago, TNDV has its first full-time employee. So I have a partner in crime now, another very proud MTSU graduate. And my guess is that's going to grow. I think we've seen a trend in our production work that continues to increase, and I'm happy to say that I have a feeling that number will continue to grow. But for 6 years, it was just me and a talented team of freelancers, and now that we're deploying this newest truck, we have our first full-time employee other than me, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Are you as comfortable with the business end of the business as you are with the technical end of the business?
Well, I think I kind of have to be. When it comes to things like bookkeeping and sales, and especially marketing. I have my dad, who's another entrepreneur and very successful small business owner to thank from West Tennessee, but I enjoy things like designing a logo or redesigning a website. You know, when TNDV.com first launched 7 years ago, the only reason I picked that as a company name was because it was a short URL. I wanted four letters or less. I didn't want a long website for people to remember. So the company name TNDV is strictly because that was the website I could purchase and own that was short enough to remember. And designing the logo and coming up with a color scheme were all afterthoughts. The website was key because I knew that was the direct line to my clients and the other producers. When it comes to the accounting side of things, I hate it. I hate having to write checks and balance spreadsheets, but it does give me the opportunity to have a firm grasp on every aspect of the company's expenditures because I do write every single check that goes out the door. But then I am lucky enough to go out with the truck on just about every show. The various trucks, when we get double booked and two or three of the trucks are working simultaneously, I have to pick the shows I work on, but I'm still a very big part of all the production work. And actually work on site with the productions as they go on.
When you were talking about designing logos and such, it would seem as though you're breaking the stereotype of the tech geek who has no creative spiritual side. Do you think you've got that yin and yang?
Yeah, and everybody we work with. I have a crew of probably about 10 or so folks that I would say are my full-time freelancers, if there is such a thing. We'll call them permalancers. And I think what makes us a good team is that every one of us are very equally balanced left-brain, right-brain folks. Not only am I able to give these guys numbers to crunch and very complex video systems to assemble and deploy on site, but we also both get excited about designing fun T-shirts for the crew to wear on show site. And just like we can be as focused as we need to be when we're doing a live international network special, we can just easily jump out of the TV truck and play Frisbee for a half an hour to blow off some steam when we need to as well.
On a live event like an award show, it's fairly well scripted because if it's going to be aired on a network, they want to try to keep the time as tight as they can. Of course, with acceptance speeches and stuff, even if they're limited, and then the orchestra starts to play somebody off, somebody will still stand up there and go, no, by George, I'm going to have my moment. But with a sporting event, it's a little bit of a different animal because it's not scripted. The action is made up as it goes along, as it were. And when the guys in the truck are parked outside the stadium or whatever, and the fans coming in see them, or the sportscaster, the play-by-play guy or the color guy refers to the guys in the truck, does it matter to you that the listening public or the viewing public doesn't really have a sense of what you guys do except at Christmas time when they roll the credits of everybody and his brother?
It's important to me that the line between behind the scenes and in front of the camera remains invisible. You know, I think we've done a good show when production elements are not visible and crew are not immediately in your face. The illusion of television to me is still magical. You know, people, I hope, are still amazed at how some of the things we pull off take place. So as much as I love to see my name in a credit roll, and really I know it's mainly up there for my mom to see, I still think it's special when we are able to keep that illusion, even in live television, there for the viewing audience. I don't want them to know we're over time. I don't want the folks at home thinking, man, this is a long speech. I don't want them thinking, I wish that camera guy would sit down so I could see the person behind him. So I take pride in the fact that what we do still has a little magic to it, and I hope that people at home get to see that too.
How many bells and whistles can you bring to a sporting event, such as Replay, for example?
Well, I tell you, one of my personal goals in life is the ever-elusive Emmy Award. I've been lucky enough to receive 3 Emmy Awards in my career, and the one I'm most proud of is for technical achievement. And what that award represents is something unusual or unique that was brought to a production. So every show that I approach, my team and I are always asking ourselves, what can we do to make this stand out? What's going to win that technical achievement Emmy Award for us again? And a lot of times it's something as simple as a camera. You know, there was a person who was the first to say, you know, what if I put the camera on the end of a 20-foot-long stick and swing it around? Well, now a jib crane is standard on any production. The Steadicam was another very significant invention that changed production for both film and television. And now I'm proud to say that I have some great MTSU graduates that are Steadicam owners that we work with. So be it angles or, as you mentioned, a replay, we're always looking for that next extra special bit of flavor we can sprinkle into a show. And I tell you, there have been some pretty creative things we've come up with, too. There's a producer in Nashville that's proud of the fact he was able to put a sky cam in the Skirmerhorn Symphony Hall, and he went on to win an Emmy Award for their production, One Symphony Place, and he had a sky cam flying on a cable through the symphony hall. That's pretty cool.
Now, that's rather unique. How do you do that without it being so obtrusive that it distracts either the musicians or the audience?
Well, in that case, it was size. His challenge was he had to get a camera small enough and light enough that it could operate on a rig that was not a distraction. And he had to do significant amounts of research and development to develop that, and he even went on to brand that particular technology as the S-Cam. So Sunrise Productions has their S-Cam that's available for anybody that wants to produce a television production or wedding video in the Symphony Hall that has a Skycam.
And at the network sporting events, Skycams and goalpost cams are, you know, they've gotten to be de rigueur. You've gotten to where you expect it anymore.
You almost have to have them. One of the newer technologies now is the Skycams that fly over midfield in a football game to give the video game point of view. Another technology that's taken off is what we refer to as the hockey puck truck. It's an entire production rig that makes the hockey puck glow, just like the first down lines can appear on a football field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the middle of producing a series of youth trap shooting events, and we're trying to figure out how we can make the shotgun skeet glow in the air so it's easier for the viewers to see, and then we blow it up, and we haven't come up with one yet.
You know, some people are so dumb they still don't know that those first down lines and those third and eight indicators are digitally produced, and they're not actually on the field with lime.
Very much virtual and very complicated. The technology it takes to pull that off takes not only unique hardware, but also an interfacing infrastructure that's second to none. The way that integrates with the trucks like I own, takes days of setup and tweaking, and it still doesn't always work right. You'll notice that occasionally that a first down line will appear on a quarterback's helmet. So it's one of those technologies that's still in its infancy, but will only continue to get better.
Some viewers complain that even with high def, that the moguls of television have made the television screen, especially on newscasts, but on some entertainment programs as well, be they syndicated or network produced, too gosh darn busy. You've got information in the upper left-hand corner, upper right-hand corner, lower right-hand corner. You've got the logo so everybody will know in case you TiVo it where you got it. And you've got a crawl running across the screen at the bottom. And, you know, some viewers, especially of the older generation, are just saying, stop! Enough already. It's like a too-busy website. It drives you nuts.
And I think that gets back to what we were discussing with on-demand content. People's demand for information, and not only information, but accurate and immediate information, has pushed the networks to feel like those kind of crawls and bugs and over-the-shoulder graphics are necessary to maintain the attention span of younger viewers, and largely they're right. The good news for me is, though, most of our productions now, to keep things simple in the field for us, they take care of all that at master control. So all we have to do is generate the cameras, and they take care of all that. We did the CMT Award Red Carpet Show. High Five Entertainment from Nashville produced that, and we used a great big truck. And all of the lower third crawls, the tweeting that happened in real time, all happened in master control. So whereas we had to concentrate on making sure that the live element was perfect, they dealt with all the crawls back in master control. So that was nice to have that taken off our shoulders.
Do the people who reach out to your company for your services ever have discussions, let's call them creative differences, with you and your expert, it's your Permalancers, about how to do things?
They do, and the good thing for me is my interest is always with the client's interest. I always want them to get the best product possible. However, I'm also very concerned about their budget, because if I can maintain their budget and deliver a product that is superior, that probably means we're going to work together again. So when a treatment comes to me from a producer that obviously needs some guidance on how they produce their program, I'm usually able financially to steer them in a direction that's a little more realistic. To give a real-life example, the youth trap shooting event that I mentioned, they approached me with a 22-camera plan.
Mm.
22 cameras all working together at the same time, which is not impossible to do, but it's tricky. The last show we produced for them, now that we are actually doing work, was a 5-camera show. And I was able to do with 5 cameras what they wanted to do with 22 cameras, and not only cut their budget in tenths, but allowed them to be able to continue to produce these programs by reducing their budget exponentially. And I'm proud to say we'll be producing our third major live event for them coming up in just a few weeks.
Well, I'm sorry. I think this, you know, maybe the Stanley Cup playoffs deserve 22 cameras, but the event you described to me does not warrant 22 cameras.
The 15 and 16-year-olds with shotguns in a field in Arkansas is probably not appropriate to do a 22-camera shoot with.
No.
Unless they can afford it, in which case I will actually bring a 23rd on me.
So what you're saying is the person who has acquired your services, you might have to say, okay, you want X, I can deliver X, but you've given me a budget of Y. If you want X, it's going to cost you Z. I'm just saying, here are the realities.
And typically what I'll do is I'll produce a budget for both because, you know, the customer is always right. I will always quote them what they're looking for with model numbers and accurate pricing, and then I'll provide a realistic budget and break down in detailed emails about how they can go about not only getting the product they need, but doing it in such a way that they'll be able to afford to keep the lights on next month.
That's always helpful. If someone wants to talk to you about maybe using your services, what do they need to do? How can they get in contact with you?
Well, the best place to start is probably on the web. The website, which is, as I mentioned, TNDV, which is short for Tennessee Digital Video, TNDV.com not only has detailed explanations about the type of work we do, there's also examples. Some of our recent work appears on there and explanations of the equipment we have to offer. And then good old email and phone numbers are available on that website. We love to talk about new and different projects. And again, I love working at the White House and doing national programs, but I'm also very proud to do all the live video work for the Murfreesboro Chamber of Commerce. And I'm proud to come back to MTSU to do the Big Easter service every year. And There are just as many opportunities on the local front as there are on the national front. We love new work.
It sounds as though MTSU has reason to be proud of you as well and everything that you've accomplished. So keep on keeping on, and we'll see you either on the road, on the web, or on the tube.
Thanks very much for talking today. I appreciate the call.
Nick Duggar of Television, or rather Tennessee Digital Video, TNDV. This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Join us again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget, you can check out the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com, and we're available on iTunes.